are saved by the power of God. For it is written that I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to naught the understanding of the prudent. You think you know something. And God said, watch this. I'm going to turn it all upside down. What you think you know, you didn't think you don't know.
Come on now.
Yeah. Yeah. You think you've got all these things. God said, I'll turn your world upside down and I'll show you just how smart you are.
Yeah.
Amen. And then he sends some no-name preacher and comes by your way and he preaches a simple message and you go, whoa.
Yes.
And then, oh, where'd you go to school at? Nowhere.
Amen.
What kind of formal training? Nothing.
Amen.
Found it on my knees in prayer and God helping me and begging for God to have mercy on me and trembling in fear before God, saying, God, what in the world am I doing? I didn't want this.
Come on.
I didn't ask for this. God, how am I here right now? God, you're going to have to do something because I'm nothing without you.
Right.
Amen.
Yes. No, you don't do that. Take the tape recorder to me sometime. Yeah, you'll find out. I say that a lot. In my truck, everywhere I go sometimes, I'm just talking out. People probably think I'm crazy. They see you. And he doesn't have an earbud in either. They look on both sides of my head. He ain't got no earbud, and he's still talking to himself. That guy's crazy. I'm crazy. Me and God just talking. We having a conversation. Say, is he talking back to you? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
And sometimes I'm like, okay, that's enough.
That's enough. That's all I can handle. That's all I can handle. Stop.
That's just something y'all do with me sometimes. All right, enough. Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 2. Can you handle a little bit more?
Yes, sir.
Good, because we're going to go anyway.
Good job.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. The word of God did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So that's why there was only 8 saved as Noah preached all those years. Because it was not mixed with faith with them that heard it. And then one day they were pounding on the edge, on the side of the ark. Noah, let us in! Noah, we believe you now! This stuff coming out of the air, it's just starting to arise all around us. Noah, let us in! Too late. Moses and Aaron and the continual backsliding of Israel. How many times is it going to take? How many times is it going to take me to stop? And Moses and Aaron continually bringing the word of God, and they would reject God, and they would turn to idols, and they would do these other things, and run after other gods, committing the spiritual adultery all the time. Some of us don't even want to think like that, but let me tell you, when you give something of yourself more than you give to God, you're committing adultery. It's spiritual adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
God even said that Israel committed adultery on him over and over and over and over again. God said, I can go on and on. How about the rich young ruler? I won't take the time, but in Mark chapter number 7, or Mark chapter number 10, verses 17 through 22, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, do this, this, and this. He said, all those things have I done from my youth. He said, then leave it all. Sell it all. Get rid of it all and come and follow me. And the Bible said that he was sad at what Jesus had said. It even said that he went away grieved because of what he was being informed. I've done all these things. How many of us today, can I challenge you for a moment in the Word of God? How many things you can say, I've done this and I've done that. Yes, Pastor. Yes, God. I've done all these things. Blah, 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 blah. And one thing thou lackest.
Yes.
Can you let it go? Can you give it up? Can you walk away? You see, sometimes, again, we think that's a controlling aspect. No, God is just testing, how much do you really love me? How much do you trust me? How much do you really believe in me? I can do more for you. You give up that one thing, and it's nothing really, because I'll multiply you 100-fold. I'll give you more joy than you can ever contain. You think that those things are going to bring you joy and happiness and peace and all these great things, but it never does. And you say, go ahead, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. It's a challenge to some of us. But he went away grieved, for he had much possessions. Amen. So the information that he received, he did not apply. He didn't like the information. Thus, he went away still deformed. Nicodemus was another man that the same thing had happened to him when he come to Jesus by night. And he said, Master, we know that you're a teacher come from God. He had that revelation. He said, because no man can do the miracles which ye do. He understood there's something different. You see, Nicodemus was a religious leader. He's like the imams of Islam today. They're religious leaders, but they are not doing what Jesus can do. They're like the Buddhists and the Hindus, and so there's a bunch of religious teachers, but they don't have the power thereof. That's what made Jesus different. And he said unto him, that he tells him, he said, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And Nicodemus is like, whoa, wait, hold on a second. How can I climb back into my mother's womb and be born again? This doesn't make any sense. Yeah, it doesn't make sense, because all you are thinking is through the carnal or the natural mind. He said, but you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. I'm talking about a supernatural experience. You've got to be baptized. Amen. You've got to be baptized. I don't care what the religious leaders of this world are saying. Baptism is of no effect. You don't need to do it. It's just a ritual. It's just that. No, the Bible has informed us with absoluteness. You must be born again, or you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now you can say to me, well, I don't like that, and I don't think that's true, and I don't think, it doesn't matter what I think, it doesn't matter what you think. What does the Word of God say?
Yes.
It doesn't matter what I think. What does the Word say? He said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. When we find scripture after scripture, and we go from there to that informs us of his death, his burial, his resurrection, and the things to come thereafter, that we are therefore transformed by. These two things go hand in hand in the next couple of verses that I want to read in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 36. As he stands there, as Peter tells all those that are there on that day, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. I know on that day there were some that were mad, because they said, don't you dare pin that on me. And there's even probably some here today that want to say the same thing about a different situation of sin that has deformed their life. Don't pin that on me, preacher. I'm not pinning anything on you. Sin's deformed you. Sin has crippled you. Sin has mangled you. Sin is what has made you do and think and act certain ways that are not becoming to God.
Oh, it's real quiet now. I figured that would probably happen pretty soon.
Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what do we do? We're in trouble. We've messed up. And he said unto them, repent. The first thing you got to do. You see, that's not preached by many of our religious leaders today. There's not a place about that being preached about repentance. Repentance is almost a bad word anymore. And it should be something that we should embrace so wholeheartedly. Had somebody just even the other day, as an altar call was being given on Wednesday night, and people came to the front and they were praying. Had somebody that didn't go to the front, that's a guest, that there was a guest. They said, "Wow, I can't believe how many people need Jesus in this building." What? Yeah. Because they took it as a sign that everybody that went to the front doesn't have Jesus in their life. Well, almost everybody was there except for four people that were sitting out here. And those are the four that needed Jesus the most.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? You see, the perception is that, well, all those that went up to the front, hey, guess what? I need Jesus more than anybody in this house. There ain't nothing wrong with an altar. There ain't nothing wrong with saying, "God, help me." There ain't nothing wrong with saying, "God, forgive me." There ain't nothing wrong with saying, "God, I'm struggling. I need some help." I'm weak. My mind is going crazy. I'm wanting things that I shouldn't be wanting.
Yes.
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 Yeah, there shouldn't be anything wrong with it. God, help me with my mind.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, like it's quite that. Oh, man. Look at all these sinners.
Oh, yes.
Preach. Where are they supposed to be?
Yes.
Preach.
Right.
Preach.
Yes.
Man, this is where I want to be. I want to be saved.
Yes.
I want to be healed. I want to be renewed. I want to be transformed.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And he said, "So repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you, your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." And everybody wants to get on that bandwagon right there and say, "See, I can make up my own way and my own religion and my own this." And where has that gotten us? It's gotten us with over almost 4,000 different religions doing whatever they want to do.
Right.
That's right.
That's where it's gotten us. And it's gotten us nothing but confusion and all kinds of mess because, well, I'll just find my own path. There's no path outside of the Word of God.
Amen.
We've got to do it according to the Word.
Amen.
I've got to repent.
Yes.
Well, I don't think you have to.
I
don't know what to tell you. The Bible tells me to repent.
Yes.
And not just one scripture, but multiple places.
Yes.
The Bible tells me we've got to be baptized. The Bible gives us the instructions how to walk right, how to talk right, how to look right, how all those things.
Right.
It's not easy. I understand that. Anybody that tells you it's easy, they're crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
You talk about college. This is tough college right here.
Amen.
There ain't very many graduates.
Right.
Yeah. Love your brother as yourself. Are you kidding? Over my dead body?
My God.
Yes. I hate him.
Yes.
I hate her. She annoys me.
Yes. Praise the
Lord. Guess what? You got a big fat zero on your test.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Ain't graduating this year.
Uh-huh.
Take this course over. Merciful? They've done burned me one too many times. I ain't going back there. Ain't no way, no how.
Come on.
Course over. Let's start over from the beginning.
Right.
Come on.
That's the truth of the matter. Yeah. No, I don't like the coursework sometimes. But I got he's still working on me.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Make me what I ought to be.
Yes.
I still got work. And every time I think, man, I'm doing good, it's about that time to
poof.
Yes. Oh. Oh, are you kidding me?
Yes.
Serious? Oh, man. Oh, yes. I thought I was doing good.
Yes.
Now, don't beat yourself up and be too hard on yourself, because still, the scripture said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Oh, no.
Right.
Yeah. But it doesn't mean that we just give ourselves over to it. We're still striving.
Right.
We're still striving. We're informed, and we receive that information with gladness. For verse 41 said, and they that gladly received the word were baptized. There was action. They got something. I realize my deformity. I realize my crippleness. I realize my damage. I realize what I've done. Yes. You've informed me of my deformity. Get me to a place where I can be transformed.
Yes.
And this is how it happens.
Yes.
And you skip a little bit further. And you go down to Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 5. Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Verse number 12. They that believed Philip's preaching, amen, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus were baptized. Something happened to them. They realized, hey, we're deformed, but you informed us of our deformity, and we need to be transformed back to the place that God intended us to be. And that is with sweet communion with Him. Ananias was another one. With Saul, and Saul had been smote with that blindness, and he goes, what does he do? He even has to find a preacher. Because God doesn't go outside of His word. He said, go down and find this preacher, Saul. And he gonna tell you what to do. And he said, man, I love that story. He says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who art thou, Lord? What are you talking about? I thought I was doing right. No, you're killing the very ones that you're going to preach to. Whoa, really? Okay, I'd like to do it with my eyesight, though.
Yes.
Huh? I know I'm adding my little twist to it, but I think that's what Paul was probably saying. Whoa, hold on a second. We get all this straight. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. To go find a preacher, and he'll tell you what to do. And he got his sight back, and he becomes a very influential preacher. That three quarters of the New Testament is letters that are written is spoken by.
Right.
Wow! How awesome! How awesome is that? What happened though? He realized that he was crippled. He realized that he was a mess. Even though he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Even though he was taught in the greatest colleges. Even though he had the greatest teaching in seminary and all this other kind of stuff. And Paul eventually says, I had to count it all dung for the cause of Christ. I had to count it as manure. All of my training, all of my teaching, God had to rip all that junk out of me and give me something that was real. And that was the Holy Ghost. That was the Spirit of God that transformed my character, that transformed my thinking, that transformed my attitude, that made every bit of difference in my life.
Praise the Lord.
Some people say, well, I've prayed and it hasn't helped me. You ain't prayed like you need to pray.
Right.
I'm telling you that when you pray and the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, you will change. You can change. You can be an overcomer. You can succeed. Well, I prayed and He didn't answer my prayer. No, you didn't. Don't. First of all, don't lie to me. Don't lie to God. And then get this straight. Don't lie to yourself.
Yes.
You know what you need to do, but you ain't doing it because you like your deformity.
Amen. Yes.
Ooh.
Yes.
You look. Can I do this without being? I don't mean to be disrespectful. You like being all gnarled up and crippled. You like that.
Yeah.
You like being deformed and crippled. No, I don't. Yeah, you do. Because you still stay the same way. When the Holy Ghost can change.
Yeah.
When the Holy Ghost can change the way you think. When the Holy Ghost can change the way you act. When the Holy Ghost can change the way you talk. Hey, there's too many of them. There are some of us in here that we're looking through. I don't talk. Sister Annabelle, stand up. Oh, her eyes got real big. That young lady right there had the filthiest mouth. She'd make a sailor blush.
My God.
Ooh, ooh. Yeah, you say, whoop. Her? No way. Not Annabelle. Oh, no. No way. Oh, yeah. Filthy mouth. But she got the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And after she got the Holy Ghost, gone.
because you got the Holy Ghost, the real Holy Ghost. Come on now, I said the real Holy Ghost, because he changed the way that she talked. She didn't talk like that anymore. Nevertheless, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost will change some things.
Yes, it will.
It'll fix some stuff in you if you give it the opportunity to. You can even sit down in front of a big old 60-inch screen TV after church on a Wednesday night and get to watching a crime and murder flick or whatever and say, oh, the Holy Ghost don't want me to watch this no more.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost wants me to get rid of this thing.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost don't want me to ingest all this mess. That's what happened right here one day. They got home from a Wednesday night Bible study and went plopped down in front of the idiot box and started ingesting a bunch of garbage. Okay, set it straight.
It was my wife that said that to me.
Sit down. Thank you. Sister Kent. Sister Kent had some conviction. Sister Kent had some. Okay, gotta give credit where credit. You know what? That's honorable. Thank you. That's honorable. You get that, that's pretty good guy. You gotta keep him around a little longer. Yeah.
Yeah, guy, he's funny.
No, but that, isn't that pretty much the way it happened though? Is that
exactly?
I can't put this stuff in this temple. This temple's clean. This temple's got the Spirit of God. I can't ingest this garbage when I long to be clean. I'm going to tell you, when you get the real Holy Ghost, there's going to be some things you go, you know what? I'm enjoying this cleanliness. I'm enjoying this purity. I'm enjoying this honesty. I don't have to wake up in the morning and try to figure things out. I don't have to be confused. I don't have to be all pain and crippled and deformed. I can live a transformed life in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm just done living for God. And I hear this all the time with people that walk away. And I just go, but if you only knew. And there's some people here that God, that you have walked away, you've backslid, and God's been merciful and given you another opportunity, and given you the opportunity to feel His presence all over again. Cherish it!
Yes.
Yeah.
Cherish it, because He doesn't owe you a second chance.
Right.
He doesn't owe you a third chance. You better cherish it, and when you feel yourself sliding sideways, you better fall on your knees and say, God, give me back to that place of transformation. So in Ephesians chapter 4, will you let me read a few scriptures just to solidify this? Ephesians chapter 4 verse 21 said, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye may put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. It ain't time. Not when you're being transformed. I ain't talking about drinking. I ain't talking about drugs. I ain't talking about my old lifestyle. I ain't talking about the sin that I used to do. The thing. No, sir.
Yes.
I put off the conversation.
I already talked about that already.
It's your conversation that can mess you up.
Amen.
You're talking about it.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. That ye have put off the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Those lustful desires, they're lying to you.
Amen.
You think that, you know what? There's some things that everybody thinks is going to make them happy.
Yes.
How many of y'all want more money? Oh yeah, all of us want more money. But let me tell you what, more money ain't going to buy you happiness.
Right.
You can read story after story after story. Oh no, I'd be different. I, and I hear
hear it all the time. I'd be different because I'm living for God. If I won the lottery, what?
Hold on. We've had that conversation. Something wrong about that one. Nevertheless, I would pay my tithes and I'd buy us a new building and I'd do this and I'd do that.
But if you start looking at everybody that's ever won a lot of money like that, they're paupers. Not very long after. The Bible even talks about those that have quick gain, that it goes away. It's fleeting. It's gone. Yeah, it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Oh, yeah, I do this and I do that. Yeah. Oh, no. I'm going to tell you, the lusts, there's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with making money.
But when you think it's going to buy you happiness, there's something wrong.
That's right.
That new clothes, those new cars, that new house, that new this, if I could just have this, I'd be happy. If I could just have that. No, the problem is not in anything in this world, because it's not going to give you happiness. What you need is the Holy Ghost. That's what you need. I will say to give you joy, and joy unspeakable. Well, I haven't had it. I got it 10 years ago, and I still ain't had the joy that you're preaching about, because you ain't really, really, really got it like I got it. Because I will tell you that even when everything around me is wrong, I can still have joy. When everything around me isn't right, and it's chaos, I can still go and find a place in the Holy Ghost and have peace. I don't have to be in turmoil. I can find peace in the middle of my storm. Woo! Hallelujah. Then 23 said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Some of us got a problem with stinking thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? Come on, you got stinking thinking, and you're deformed by it. And I'm informing you, get rid of your stinking thinking and be renewed. Be transformed in your mind. Quit giving your mind to that garbage.
Right.
It's messing you up.
Right. Yeah.
Things make you give these people hope? Advice ring. Great job.
Come on. You go ahead and get ready.
Don't blame.
See, now that's deceiving. Now really, I only have a few more scriptures. And they, and that ye put on the new man. You put on the new man. Look here. Which after God is created.
Let me slip on that new garment of transformation. Where I couldn't walk straight, where I couldn't talk right, think right, I couldn't do.
Let me put on that new garment of transformation that was created by God in righteousness and true holiness. Oh, I want to be like you, Jesus. I want to get back to the place that you formed me in your likeness and in your image. I don't want these deformities, but I want to be what you intended me to be in your likeness, in your image. Form me and mold me back again. Transform.
Thank you. Yes.
Woo.
Yes.
Woo. Woo. Hallelujah. Colossians 3:9 said, lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Oh, I've changed, but I still do this.
Oh.
Say what? Huh? Did I just hear that right? Because I don't think that that's necessary. Pardon me?
Huh?
And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge. There's your information. Renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Oh God, that I can be created anew, transformed anew in the form that you originated for me. The plan that you originated for my life. Sin has destroyed me. The enemy has wreaked havoc on me.
works of righteousness which we had done, Titus 3 and 5. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's only going to be by the renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Jesus.
Ooh.
Thank you, Jesus.
Romans 12 and 2 said, be not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. What's the will of God today? The will of God today is that I am transformed back into the image, the creation that God intended for me to be. What's the biggest deal about that? The biggest deal about being transformed and created back into that image that He designed for me to be is that I can have a sweet communion with Him that He intended. Oh, that He could take me by the hand in the early morning. He could take me by the hand in the afternoon. He could take me by the hand in the evening. Nobody else around, just me and Him. I've been created in your likeness, in your image. Sin has deformed me, mangled me. I can't. Been informed by the word today. And I can be transformed where I couldn't hold your hand and I couldn't be in unison with you, God. I can be in unison with you because of the transformation of your word and of your spirit. I can walk hand in hand with you today, no longer crippled, no longer twisted, no longer impaired. Because I've been transformed. Because I've been transformed. And such were some of you. 1 Corinthians 6:11. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. And by the Spirit of our Lord God. Wow. I have been washed. I have been sanctified. I have been justified by the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you repent, that is so essential. And maybe if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, you've got to be. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know what? There's so many people that I understand this. We want to do it so bad on our own because even New Age religion has infiltrated in so many aspects to get us to do it on our own. Right. New Age says you are your own God. You can do that. And the way they get that is from the very beginning. You're created in the image of God. So they go, see there? I'm a God. Sorry. If you're God, I don't want nothing to do with you.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
I'm sorry.
And that's why when Cornelius had fell down at Peter's feet, Peter said, get up, man. Don't worship me. I'm a man just like you are. No. I've got God on the inside of me, and you're fixing to get it, Cornelius, but don't worship me.
Okay.
Woo.
all things become new. My last setting, 1 Peter chapter 1, 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth.
Yes.
Look here. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit.
Wow.
Obeying the truth through the Spirit. And so as God begins to move like He's already been moving in this place, and the Spirit of God begins to tug on your heart and say, let's make some deals today. You see that crippled arm? You see that limp that you got? You see that mental disorder, if I can say it like that? The things that you're thinking are just out of whack. Let's make a deal today.
Come on now. Oh, come on. Yes.
You've been informed. You've been informed today. You don't have to stay the same way.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
You can be transformed.
Yes.
Don't matter how bad the deformity. You see, never in the scripture is there, well, I take that back. There's one place that I'm aware of that the scripture does say broken without a remedy. But in so many more places, that's the only one that I can think of where they went beyond. It was too far. And I don't know what too far is. And sometimes too far for one person is not too far for another person. But we're not going to get into all that. I just know that God can transform you.
Yes.
And maybe you say, yes. See, that's the point, Pastor. That's the point, Preacher, is I've gone too far. Well, another scripture that's reminded me is where there's breath, there's still life, there's still hope.
Yes. Amen.
So until you are buried 6 feet deep,
yes,
you got an opportunity.
Hallelujah.
To be transformed.
That's right.
Yes.
What's your deformity today? Now, I understand every eye closed and just been looking around. Let's be honest. Let's be honest with ourselves. I got some deformity issues in my life. And I'd like them to be transformed today. Anybody want some transformation today? If you do, why don't you make your way to an altar? Find the place of repentance. Say, well, I repented last Sunday morning. Yeah. I repented this morning. I repented yesterday. It's not a once a week thing, but it's something to embrace. God, transform me. I see and I know my weaknesses. I know my inabilities, and you know me far greater in all of my disabilities and all of my thinking problems. God, I'm struggling in my mind. Would you help me today? Come on, somebody. Somebody right now, would you lift up your hands towards heaven? You know what? I don't know if anybody, I still got my eyes closed. I don't know if anybody's kneeling. I want everybody on your feet. I want you on your feet. I want your hands lifted up towards heaven. The devil wants to keep your face buried in the ground, but you can look up towards heaven right now. Lord, wash me. Come on, say it. Go ahead and say it. Lord, wash me, cleanse me, justify me, sanctify me today, purify me today, make me whole, cleanse me, God. I need a washing. I need a regeneration. I need something from you today. Come on, somebody, will you cry out to the Lord? Will you call on Him today? Come on, sister, with a loud voice, cry out. Brother, with a loud voice, cry out, oh Jesus, I'm just a sinner man. Help me if you can.
them. Help me to overcome them. That's it. That's it. Cry out unto the Lord this morning. Call on Him. He'll help you. He'll help you. He'll save you. He'll deliver you. He'll strengthen you today. Believe it today. Believe it today. He'll strengthen. He'll strengthen. He'll heal your body. He'll touch your mind. He'll deliver your soul today. Oh, yes, He can. Yes, He can. Yes, He will. Believe it today. Speak it. Speak it. God, I know that You can help me. God, I know that You can save me. I know it's not too hard. I know You can save my husband. I know You can save my wife. I know You can save my children. I know You can today, God. You can heal the deformity. You can touch my mind. You can put hope back into my hopeless situation. Come on, speak it. Speak it. Say